Let's pray to the Lord together. Father God, speak to us now from your word. It's a difficult passage to get our heads around, but just speak to us your words of eternal life. Amen. Well, there's a story of a man who was due to be executed for his faith and for standing firm in what he genuinely believed God was calling him to do. And he could have got away with it. He could have played a bit of politics and said the right thing. He could have denied his faith, or he could have decided, well, perhaps this isn't what God is calling me to do after all. And then he would have saved his life. But he genuinely believed this was God's call on his life, and so he put his trust in the Lord, believing that going to his death, God would be faithful and grant him life everlasting. Well, I don't know about you, but I find stories like that incredibly moving. I just love to see these stories through history where people have acted on their faith in such remarkable ways. And I often question myself, would I have the courage and the faith to do that? And I wonder, the question I want to ask really as we start is, what length would you go to in obedience to God's will? Stepping out in faith, trusting in his good purposes no matter what. So today we're coming to the end of our series looking at the life and adventures of Abraham in Genesis, and we reach probably the climax, Genesis chapter 22. And it would be useful if you had the Bibles open at page 22, because we will be looking at some of the verses in detail. In this chapter we will see Abraham is going to have his faith in God pushed to the limit. But through it, we're going to learn a lot from how Abraham responds to God and how God responds in turn. But starting right at the beginning, take a look at verse 1 and we see what's going on here. My first point from verses 1 and 2 is a test of faith. Verse 1 makes it clear. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. This whole chapter is a test. And what is the test? Well, it comes in this rather horrific command in verse 2. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. I mean, it is a shocking command. It disgusts us. But you know, I think it's meant to. The command makes us want to shout out quite rightly, come on God, surely not. This is not who you are. This is not who you have revealed yourself to be so far in Genesis. You're showing yourself to be a good God, a faithful God, a God who loves and restores people. Later on in the Bible, we learn very clearly that God hates child sacrifice. So what on earth is going on here? The point is, it's a test of faith. Abraham is being asked to trust God against all logic. It just seems so irrational. But God is saying, Abraham, trust me even in this. Now, one of the problems we can have here is we get so appalled at this command that we don't get any further. We don't get any further than the emotional wrench we feel. But it's important to remember the context. We've got to remember Isaac's special place in God's purposes. So let's just have a quick recap of what we've seen over the last few weeks. Do you remember Genesis 12? That's where we started off, and God made promises to Abraham. There was the promise of people, a united people, the promise of a good place, a land, and the promise of blessing. And that blessing would flow out from Abraham and his descendants to all nations. And we saw that God actually is promising to reverse the effects of the fall, to reverse the effects of everything that went wrong in Genesis 3, to put the world that has gone wrong right. This is what's being promised here. And then, as we continued reading, we learned that the key to these promises being unlocked was the son to be born to Abraham, the miracle child who is Isaac. So you can see where this is going, I hope. God has promised the salvation of the world The key to unlocking those promises is Isaac. What's more, in Genesis 15, Abraham, in making that promise of a son through whom the promises would come true, said, if I do not keep my promise, may I become like these animals cut in half. Do you remember that covenant ceremony? It was a bit peculiar. Those animals were sliced in half and God symbolically moved between them. And God was saying, may I be like these animals if I do not keep my command. So when we bring the context into play here, we realize that if Abraham kills Isaac and Isaac remains dead, the promises of God will not come to pass. There will not be any salvation for the earth, and God will have shown himself to be a liar, a capricious God, an unfaithful God, a cruel God, a capricious God. So God's very nature, his character, and his promises are all being challenged here, because they all rely on Isaac. It's what God swore. So let's just think of this in a different way. Think of this illustration. Imagine it's coming up to D-Day, and Winston Churchill then announces on the radio, I can't do Winston Churchill's voice, so I won't do that, but can you imagine if he said, I have just sent over the details of the D-Day plans to Hitler. I've told him exactly which beaches the Allied forces will be landing upon, and what's more, I have talked to our American allies, and we've sent over the RAF and the US Air Force to Germany for their disposal. And then, imagine if Churchill went on to say, British people, please continue to trust me. That's the sort of thing that's going on here. Now, in that case, with Churchill, we'd think he'd lost the plot. Has God lost the plot here? Because it's a good question to ask. Abraham, however, has come to know God as a good and faithful God. He's come to trust God, and we're going to see now how he continues to trust God. He suspects God has got something up his sleeve, and so he steps out in faith, which brings us to our second point, obedient faith in action. Obedient faith in action, and this is verses 3 to 9. And it's quite interesting if you look at verse 3. The writer of Genesis makes no comment. He just says, what happened the next day? Yeah, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took two of the servants and his son Isaac, and took some wood for the offering, and off he went to obey. He obeys. He doesn't question God. Now this is remarkable, because this is Abraham. Remember, this is Abraham who on at least two occasions has been outside of the promised land. He's moved away from the promises of God. And then, because he's been so scared, he said about his wife, this is not my wife, it's my sister. She's my sister. So he's shown a lack of faith before, but he's learned his lesson now, and he's trusting God and his promises, and he steps out in faith. So we have to ask, what's going on here? Calvin called this command that Abraham has to obey an assault on the word of God. How can God's word stand true? Well, Abraham just trusts that it will stand true, and so he gets on and do it. And we can see his faith in a couple of places. He honestly believes he's going to be returning with Isaac. He knows Isaac is the heir to the promises. Isaac somehow is going to be okay. Clue number one, look at verse 5. As he leaves his servants, what does Abraham say? We're going over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Some commentators think Abraham's just lying there to cover his tracks. I don't think so. Abraham genuinely believes he will be returning with Isaac alive. And we see it again a few verses later. In verse 7, Isaac speaks up. We've got the fire, we've got the wood, hey, where's the sacrifice? And the response, verse 8, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the offering. Abraham's trusting God. And it's worth seeing what the New Testament makes of it. Just turn to Hebrews, keep a finger in Genesis 22. And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, which is on page 1209, Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham trusts that God is good, and even if he has to kill his son, he believes, well, God will then have to raise Isaac from the dead, because God will jolly well keep his promises. Abraham is responding in obedient faith. Well, I think there's a challenge for us here, isn't there? It's summed up in our verse for the year. Anyone remember our verse from the year? From Proverbs 3 verse 5? We see it every week at the end of the service. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And this is what we're called to do, because in life, life throws weird things at us. And God's asking us to trust him not only in the happy times, but even when the darkness closes in. Now, of course, we mustn't misunderstand this passage. I think there was a case in America about 20 years ago where some guy thought he heard of God speaking to him, "Kill your son." God would not ask us to do that. This was a particular case in history to a particular man about the child of the promise. And it's here to teach us a lot. But God might be asking us to sacrifice something else. He might be calling us to step out in faith, maybe sacrifice our time or our money. The question is, are we up to following Abraham's example of obedient faith? It's a rather dusty copy here of The Cross and the Switchblade. I haven't read this for a while, but we picked up the video at Spring Harvest, so we showed it to our psychic group. And it's a rather dated film now, a bit cheesy but it tells the story of this country pastor, and he is reading a news magazine. And as he's reading, he reads about these awful teenage thugs in New York who have just murdered somebody. And he starts to cry. I'm going to read a bit of page one. "What's the matter with me?" I said aloud, impatiently brushing away a tear. I looked at the picture more carefully. The boys were all teenagers. They were members of a gang called the Dragons. Beneath their picture was the story of how they had gone into Highbridge Park in New York and brutally attacked and killed a 15-year-old polio victim named Michael Farmer. The seven boys stabbed Michael in the back seven times with their knives, then beat him over the head with garrison belts. They went away wiping blood through their hair, saying, "We messed him good." The story revolted me. It turned my stomach. In our little mountain town, such things seemed mercifully unbelievable. That's why I was dumbfounded by a thought that sprang suddenly into my head, full blown, as though it had come into me from somewhere else. Go to New York City and help those boys. I laughed out loud. Me go to New York? A country preacher barge into a situation he knows less than nothing about? Go to New York City and help those boys. The thought was still there, vivid as ever, apparently completely independent of my own feelings and ideas. I'd be a fool. I know nothing about kids like that. I don't want to know anything. It was no use. The idea would not go away. I was to go to New York, and furthermore, I was to go at once, while the trial was still in progress. And he went. And he trusted in God. And he saw some of those teenagers turn to Christ. There were conversions and there were miracles, as he saw at least one person come off drugs miraculously. He stepped out in faith, trusting in God. And I just wonder, what is God maybe calling us to do? And will we respond? Obedient faith in action. Well, this brings us now to our final point, which is from verses 10 to 19, and I've given this the title, "The Lord Will Provide." The Lord will provide. Because of Abraham's obedient faith and fearing God, a substitute is provided. Isaac is not sacrificed. God has a substitute ready. This ram is provided. Verse 13. Now, this wonderful provision from God, I think, speaks to us at three levels. Level one, when the Lord calls us to step out in faith, he will provide. And that's what Abraham found, it's what David Wilkinson found, it's what lots of people have found. We had the chap Darren from Christians Against Poverty speaking to us. When that charity started, they saw amazing provision from God as they stepped out in faith. We might have to get rid of our security blanket first before we see that remarkable provision. But God will provide. But level two, did you notice here how the Lord provides a sacrifice in the region of Mount Moriah so that Isaac does not perish? Now, Mount Moriah is where Jerusalem was then later built. It's where Jesus died. And I hope we can see the parable. The Lord here in Genesis 22 provides a sacrifice in the region of Moriah so that Isaac does not have to perish. Years later, the Lord provides a sacrifice in the region of Mount Moriah so that we do not have to perish. The Lord Jesus is our substitute, the Lamb. And so this speaks to us. The Lord will provide for our salvation. He has provided for our salvation. And if there's anyone here who has not looked to the Lord God and put their trust in him, know that God provides for your salvation. He wipes away all of our sins so that we can be reconciled with him and have new life and eternal life. All we have to do is turn to him and trust in his provision for our salvation. A substitute is provided. But level three, did you notice that the chapter ends by going back to those great promises of God? And God swears, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring," notice the footnote says seed, singular, "all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Now, Paul in Galatians makes a big deal of this and says that seed of Abraham, that final offspring, is singular. Because the child of the promise actually passes through Isaac and keeps on going and finally rests on the ultimate seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also the Son of God, is sacrificed. But it is through that sacrifice that these amazing promises do come to pass. The effects of the fall are undone by this seed of Abraham being sacrificed in the region of Mount Moriah. And through that, all peoples on earth can live in God's good place for eternity and know God's blessing. So three levels on which the application works. As we come to a close then, this is a call to obedient faith. We're to look to God's provision. We're to look to the provision of our salvation. So let's pray to him if we haven't already. Lord, I trust in your provision. Jesus, the Lamb of God, sacrificed in my place. But perhaps God is calling us to step out in faith in a particular way. It might mean sacrifice. It might seem illogical. But if it's God's call, he will provide. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are faithful. You do not delight in child sacrifice. But there is one son who did die, your son Jesus. And through that, all the promises of God are yes. You are faithful, you are good, you want us to be people who are saved. So Lord, just pray for anyone here who has not put their faith in you. May they reach out and ask for you to be in their life and know your salvation. And Lord, just pray if you're just calling anybody here to step out in faith for a particular purpose, encourage them to step out in confidence because you can be trusted. Amen.